Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. And I will be reading through the Life Application version of the Bible. This is Jesus telling about the parable of the weeds. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where'd they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull the weed?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, put them into bundles, and burn them, and put the wheat in the barn." A little later, his disciples asked Jesus to explain the parables of the weeds. And Jesus said, "The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represent the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." This is the word of God for all people.
Thanks be to God. Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Thank you, Lord, for this word this morning, a word of truth, a word that can be trusted, and a word also that you are seeking for us to receive in full measure and power and holiness. Thank you for your grace that makes all of this possible. And it's in the name of the risen one, our namesake, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I heard a story of an incident that happened in Yuma this past week where a woman was coming up to the traffic light at the big curve down in Yuma, and there was somebody that she ended up behind at the traffic light. Well, the traffic light turned green. Nothing. Continued to be green. Nothing. No movement of that car in front of her. And so she just tapped on the horn a little bit. I don't know if you've ever honked at somebody just to say, "I love you," or other things. Nothing happened. Didn't move. She started getting more and more frustrated. A couple toots on the horn. Nothing. And then just as the light starts to turn yellow, gentleman in the car decides to move. Well, at this point, she is, let's say, full of a spirit and referencing the name of Jesus in different ways, and And all of a sudden, because she wasn't able to get through the light, she hears this tap on her window. Well, it's a Yuma police officer. And he says, "Ma'am, you're under arrest." Takes her to the police station. A couple hours pass, and finally he comes back, and it's kind of sheepish, and takes her out of the jail cell, and starts to explain, there's been a mistake, ma'am. But you have to understand, whenever I saw your reaction to that man in front of you in your car and what you were saying and how you were responding, and then I saw a bumper sticker on your car that said, "What would Jesus do?" I thought the car must be stolen. If you put one of those bumper stickers on your car or a fish symbol, okay, be careful. The point of it is, how are we really? Down to our very bones, how are we? How do we live? What do we say? Would people be able to say that we are a Christian by our actions, by our words? Or is there something else that we're communicating? Now, let me continue by saying this. Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. I've said that to you before, but it probably needs to be shared every week, doesn't it? Because we come into this place, and each and every one of us here has probably made a mistake this past week. If you're not in that group, wait for me afterwards. I really want to talk to you. I want to spend some time around you. Probably each of us has maybe thought something we shouldn't. Maybe something slipped out. Maybe just an accidental thing. Or an action that we should have taken, we didn't. Or maybe something that we did take, we shouldn't have. You know, we don't need to beat ourselves up. Oftentimes, that's what I find. That's why whenever you come to worship here, I'm not going to be using you as a punching bag. Believe me. People beat themselves up more than anyone else. So we are about grace. And we are about understanding that we have a redemptive God at work in our lives. And we are about forgiveness, not only receiving God's forgiveness for ourselves, but being channels of that forgiveness for others. So that our walk and talk mesh. And what we are then is a channel and representative of God in the world. The reality of that, though, is that at times there needs to be some spiritual weeding in our lives. We need to be clearing out some things that are keeping us from experiencing God's grace in its fullness, keeping us from being distracted from God, and keeping us from following the path that God would have us follow in our lives. It's not about portraying some sort of image to the world. It is being the body of Christ in the world, for the world. Being a channel of God's grace in a very real way, and in an honest way, and in a way of authenticity and integrity and accountability. Maybe not some of the most interesting words that you've heard, or sexy, but rather words that we need to hear. Accountability of our faith. Being willing to live it. Being willing to encourage one another. In other words, step outside of ourselves and offer that presence of God that is in us. Knowing that we don't need to hold on to that presence of God, because that presence of God then starts working through us. You see how that is? It's not something that we have to hold on to like a possession. It is something that we are called to share. The presence of God is shared with others. with other people, with other individuals, and then it is replenished as we focus and humble ourselves on Him. Does that make sense? Are you with me? A colleague of mine had mentioned about a sister in Christ who was, let's say, rough around the edges. I consider myself kind of rough around the edges from time to time. And so I could embrace this story. And being rough around the edges, she was also one of God's people. There was no question about it. She didn't lord it over anyone. She didn't hold it above anyone's head. But rather, she lived it in a very real and nitty-gritty way. And you see, it was important that she was willing to live it in a very real and nitty-gritty way because she worked at a homeless shelter for women. And oftentimes, there were those individuals that I like to call, this is a phrase given to me by a colleague of mine, the invisible people. The people that you drive by that you don't notice or maybe don't want to notice or pretend that they're not there. They almost become a fixture like a bush that you just drive by and you don't realize they're a living, breathing person. And those invisible people were noticed at this place and were noticed by this sister in Christ. And it came to a time and date and place where there was one individual, one of these invisible people that was found dead. Well, the sister in Christ didn't stop by just mourning, but she actually helped to gather up the body, paid for the cremation and taking care of all those arrangements and drove around with this sister in Christ cremated in an urn for weeks, waiting for a family to show up, waiting for somebody to notice that she was gone. And whenever it was clear that wasn't going to happen, she showed up at a particular parish in the city that she was still a member at and connected with and asked the priest there if there was any way that they could go ahead and inter these ashes for her. And the response was, well, we normally don't do those except for relatives of members. And her simple response that communicated the grace of God was, fine, this was my sister. How do we see the world? Do we say, fine, that is my brother? Fine, that is my sister? Or do we try to exclude ourselves or lift ourselves up as holier than thou? And then we realize somebody's tapping on our window because they see our fish emblem and say, this car must be stolen. Friends, we're not called to be holier than thou, but rather receptacles of the holy in the world. We understand that by Christ's birth, life, crucifixion, and resurrection, the holy has been brought into the world. It's not something that we're waiting on. You know, I understand that the date came and went for the end of the world. When was that again? May, I believe. I think the brother that said that he had miscalculated, so now it's in October. I can't believe he would set a date before the Super Bowl even comes, so I really can't. You know, time spent on those things, I share this with you lovingly, is a waste of time. We are called to be about the here and now, okay, in living, and sharing the holiness that is in us with others. Now, maybe you look in the mirror in the very first thing in the morning, after you creak out of bed and everything starts kind of working again, and the last thing that you think of is, boy, that's holy when you look in the mirror. Maybe the first thing you go is holy and then whatever. It's a whole nother kind of holiness that you consider. We, however, are in touch with holiness, because God is at work in our lives, and we belong to God. The scripture passage this morning speaks about a number of things. It speaks about the weeds among the wheat. And I think one of the most powerful things about this is that the master isn't really worried about the weeds that spring up. But rather, the words that speak to us powerfully come in verse 30. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn. Jesus, later on, after he'd left the crowds, because he was teaching amongst the crowds, and oftentimes, whenever you read the Bible and Jesus is teaching, don't think small. Understand that this was, well, this is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the Son of God. So people were obviously drawn to him. There was something about Jesus, still is today, isn't there? We're drawn to him. Who's drawn to Jesus today? I am. There's still something that draws us, and there always will be. This is the presence of the holy in the world. So there were a lot more people than maybe are named in Scripture. Always remember that. But later on, he does leave the crowds, and he goes into a house, and the disciples are saying, what does this mean? The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy, Satan, who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, capital F there, their Father God. Let anyone with ears listen. Jesus has an exclamation mark at the end of that, let anyone with ears listen, because he really wanted the disciples, and he really wants modern day disciples, that means each and every one of us, to hear this part. There is evil in the world. There's no question about that. We hear about it in the news every week. We hear stories of tragedy. We hear stories of evil being at work, and we understand that that is a reality. But the greater reality is that God is more powerful than any evil. We are witnesses to that. The resurrection in our own lives that we have experienced. The healing, the grace that God washes over us with. That points to the cross and what was accomplished on the cross for each and every one of us, but not just for us, for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have life eternal. It's another gospel, but Jesus is speaking there as well to those with ears to listen, to understand that evil doesn't define us. Evil is not the final word, but rather God is the final word, and God has the final say. And God's grace, will it ever stop? No. Will God ever stop being at work in us in a redemptive way? No. Will God ever stop strengthening us, filling us, encouraging us? No. For whatever challenges we have, living amongst the weeds, and don't become a weed yourself, by the way. Whatever challenges we have living amongst the weeds, we are called to bloom where we are planted. That's another phrase you might have heard before. To be able to be a channel of that love wherever you are. You understand, again, in this teaching that the enemy does not have the final victory. Okay? Weeds spring up, certainly. And in this parable, there's another layer to it, that sometimes the weeds look awfully like the good plants. It's difficult to tell them apart, all right? And sometimes they get intertwined. But there's even something good that can come out of the weeds springing up, because finally they are plucked up and they are burned for heat, okay? So they're finally used for a good purpose, believe it or not. Does that mean God can take situations that at first seem quite negative, at first seem to speak only of broken? Does that mean God can kind of take something from that and build upon it and bring healing? Absolutely. Is anything impossible for God? Is anything impossible for God? Even amidst the weeds, even amidst the evil things that go on in the world, even amidst the work of the devil, is anything impossible for God? The empty cross reminds us of that. The resurrected Savior, the risen, alive Savior, points to that. And God's Holy Spirit keeps speaking that truth in our ears, in our lives, in the lives of one another, as the body of Christ, each and every day. I invite you to take a few moments of reflection right now, just to think about maybe the weeding that needs to happen in the garden of your soul, or maybe challenges that face you of evil in the world. As you hear the music and as we just kind of ponder how God is at work in our lives, know that God is more powerful than anything that you're facing. Always will be. And His grace and love are there, available for you at this very moment.